Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Do it a little faster.
Yeah.
You still got it.
It's your girl, Shanti.
And it's Antoinette.
And we are
Around the Way Curls.
Join us as we share our unique life experiences.
AKA tell all our business.
And explore both the profound and the profane.
Because duality is a thing. Yes, hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
We are back. We're back with the Work Bay Pod. Obi and Nana, how are you?
That's a good little harmony. I appreciate that. Doing well, doing well. How is y'all?
She will give us that one, too.
How you doing?
It's like, it's your turn.
You know, it's been a week, but we here. Oh, we here.
Do you need to elaborate on that, sis? We can hold space.
Right. There you go. Take up my role. I'm usually the one asking this.
Just still reeling over some of the stuff that Obi and I talked about on our last episode around grief. And I had a really beautiful conversation with my mom about perspective. And you and I kind of talked about this towards the end of that episode, just like thinking about what may feel like a derailment or rejection is always probably the universe, God, whoever you believe in, setting you up for something bigger and better and beautiful. And it's really hard to see at the time, but just staying faithful. And so still processing a lot of those feelings that I've kind of been carrying throughout the year, but feeling a lot better about them. So. Mm.
And that's a conversation that you had on the podcast.
Yeah, we are on our last week's episode around grief.
That was episode 58.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the one. These days.
These days.
Check that out, y'all. Yeah. I'll listen to it. But I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better processing things.
Yeah. How are you?
Oh.
Right, we got to ask you too.
How are you,
friend? I, you know what? I am going through it over here, if I'm being completely honest.
No, please do.
It is so much going on that I unfortunately can't divulge. This podcast, the listeners do know that there is a close person in my life who is dealing with issues, addiction issues, and, you know, unfortunately, it's... I think all addiction issues are mental health issues, but it's gotten to the point where there's, you know, it's gotten very serious where they had some thoughts about not being here. And so I had to rush home And I'm only saying this because I live 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. So I can't get there. You know, I can't go. And so when I got the call, I don't panic in those situations. Mm-hmm. I just said, okay, I'm going to call 911. Mm-hmm. Called 911 while I was texting. And the first thing I thought was somebody has to get over there. Mm-hmm. I wrote in my group chat to my girlfriends, somebody please get over there right now. First person to respond was Jasmine. What's the address? Damn. In 15 minutes, she's sitting outside with this person.
Oh, I love that.
And I had to take it in, you know, and then, you know, Amanda reads it and she's like, I'm on my way. I'm like, it's cool. Jazz is over there. And she's like, no, I'm on my way.
Yes. Yeah.
Then Shanti, she's like, I was sleeping. Of course. Where are you guys? On our way to the hospital. I'll meet you there. When I finally get there, I'm disheveled. My face is red. I'm bloodshot eyes. Because I can lose it in the car. In the moment, I got it together. I'm like, okay. One foot in front of the other. High functioning, right? And when I saw them, it was just like, it struck me. I'm like, we in an emergency room in Philly. It is a weekday. Amanda got to work in the morning. She got two kids. I don't know where they are. Chauncey got kids. Jasmine probably supposed to be doing some shit. She should not be out here just as herself with a mask on and a hat. Like, don't nobody know she is. Mm. It just was like, you know, the.
That's love.
The, yes, I don't have the words. The fucking support system that I have from my day ones is insane. And it's just like, we all do that. Mm-hmm. There's not one need that one of us has that somebody that we're not even just somebody that we're not all collectively jumping in and being like, I got you. And I realize I didn't cry from what was going on because I'm at the point now where I put up like a protective thing where it's like, I can't even respond to this right now. I just have to manage it because it's so frequent. This up and down, up and down. And if I go up and down with it, I will spiral. Yeah. But what brought me to like my knees of gratitude and tears was like them. Mm-hmm. And afterwards we like, all right, well, what are we going to do? Like, we want to make sure you're good. And I'm like, it's late. Like that's it. And they're like, no. We're going to find a diner.
Yes.
And we're in a diner cracking up somehow, like exactly what you need. Not talking about the circumstances, but just knowing like this is what she needs. She needs time to just like not think about this. Yeah. And it's like, they are my home. They are my heart. Like I love my man, but these girls are my soulmates. Yeah. Like God bless them. But baby, you don't stand a chance. Like,
okay,
all right. I'm sorry. Right now, like these are the loves of my fucking life now. Yeah. Really, like, baby, you got to put the time in. It's new. But they just know me in a way that is like, it's crazy. And we fight
with friends.
It's different. It's a different level of like, you know, mm-hmm. and go back to Jazz House and she's like, all right, here's some sheets. Here's the pillow, and we're laughing about me wanting a wig. Like, it's just stuff that's like,
I'm so
it's
happy
intangible.
That you have that. Yeah, that's magic.
So I guess I just say that to say like, I just need to preface with Shanti has needed time off. I have committed to keeping this running. If there is a delay,
mm-hmm.
if there is something. I got to keep it real with y'all. Shit is really, really real over here right now. And it's ongoing. And I swear to God, I'm doing my best. If I'm irritated, if I seem tired, if I'm whatever, I am human. I love this podcast. This makes me feel good. It energizes me. I don't feel drained when I'm recording. But all the other shit.
Getting here. Yeah.
Is draining. the posting, the this, the that. I'm going to do my best, but just I ask for grace. Yes. The taxes, the fucking scheduling, it's exhausting, but I'm here. I ask for grace from this beautiful community that we have. And I really pray. I said a prayer that everybody out there has a net like that, has a community like my girls. Cause it's, I realized that there are people out there that don't even know what real friendship is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's wild to me.
Yeah. No, it's actually really common.
Yes.
I feel like it's been a growing thing that I've seen on the internet about women who don't have friends, who don't have friends. And I know Obi and I have talked about this when it comes to men and their friendships, but it's a lot of us out here just gathering people, collecting people. Maybe y'all, you know, do social things together, but when the time comes when you really need somebody to hold your hand through the fire, a lot of us don't have that. And so I'm just so happy that you do and that you're feeling supported during this time, because it's really important.
Yeah, major key.
Thank you, Buki.
But no, thank you for sharing that bit. And yeah, like Nana said, it's beautiful here that you have a good support system around you. Because I know that's definitely one thing that I've always worried about you, is I feel like you're really good at holding the other folks down. Mm. I'm wondering when you carve out some time for yourself. You know, like for example, Shanti's taking a little break, you know? Dude, I feel like you don't always do the best job. Yeah, we're talking to you. We know you. But
watch your mouth.
Just be wondering. When is Antoinette, you know, taking care of her? Are you carving that out on your schedule?
You know.
Don't lie to me either.
No, I'm being serious. It's a big deal for me to even ask this community for grace during this time, even with the criticisms, because I deserve criticism often. Mm. But be easy, y'all. You know, like, I get it. I think right now I'm tender in a different kind of way. And I might, if you catch me on the wrong day with the wrong criticism, I might clap back.
No, calling in.
Don't call me in right now either. I'm serious. I don't have space for it.
She don't have it.
Okay. I don't have it. If it's egregious, fine. Of course, call me in. But like, if it's just some petty shit that I
keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Put it in your group chat.
I spell something wrong or something. Like, just go ahead. I don't have it. I think for me, I'm having more conversations with people in my life, and they've been hard conversations, where a lot of people express that concern. And the conversations now are, what do you do to help create space for me to take a break?
Okay.
Because right now, oftentimes it feels like lip service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like you really need to take care of yourself. You really need to this and that. But also, everything needs to get done and I don't have capacity.
Mm-hmm. Are you good at asking from the people who you do trust to kind of pick that slack up for?
Yes.
Do you ask? Okay. All right.
What I just said.
Yeah.
What I met with is, I don't know how to do that. I don't have capacity, whatever. Okay. There's also even with what I'm managing right now, like when you're dealing with someone who is in crisis, who is, you know, in facilities and things, they're very needy, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to work on those boundaries. So I'm learning that, but also the people around that person who care about them, who love them and know that you have a special relationship with them, they look to you. Mm-hmm. You know, they express, like I had this conversation with someone just yesterday who was like, I'm really worried about you. I'm worried that you're gonna take this on. And I was explaining to them, like, no, I'm not. I'm doing the best that I can. If they need help, assistance with treatment, I will help, but I know it's on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the same breath said, well, if they don't get better, they're going to die. They're going to kill themselves. You have to da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's true.
Well, that's not
it is
helpful.
True. They've. But it's also, I said, you have to pick one. You either tell me to take care of myself, to make sure that I don't take it on, or you tell me it's dire, you have to figure out a way to fix this because the end result is this. And I was like, it's so unfair to say both because it's lip service.
Yeah.
And they got it. And they were like, I'm just scared. I'm just scared. I'm scared for you. If they don't get better, I'm scared for this. I'm scared for that. Because either way it impacts you. And I said, yeah, it does. But it's just like, it's across the board. It's not just one thing. It's even at work. You know, it's everywhere where it's like, oh, Antoinette, you work so hard. Why are you online? Also, can you?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. What?
You know, it's literally everywhere. You know, it's like, you know, you mentioned Shanti taking a break. Yes, it's beautiful. Like, I got you, girl. But we still have ads and we still have this and it still needs to run. This is the real world.
Yeah.
You know, this is real partnerships with our network. You know, this is our numbers will go down. Like the shit still goes on. And I'm learning there's definitely a balance of people have to recognize that you're human, but there's also the reality of you have to be ready and willing to face the consequences of taking the break, of just going dark, of just whatever. And I
don't think there's a middle ground somewhere?
I'm sure there is.
Okay.
I think I haven't figured that out.
Okay.
And I haven't, I don't have to get into it here, but there is sensitivity around the ads right now, around performing a certain way for the network. The network is having its own stuff. There's other stuff is what I'm saying.
I see.
It's not just, oh yeah, we understand. Take the break.
Okay.
You know, where I can, I am. The fact that I was like, I can't work the next 2 days. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Here's my coverage. You know, that was a big deal. When my stepfather was ill last year, I was in the hospital with my laptop open in the room. Like that was what I was doing and managing a lot and saying sorry on calls because doctors and nurses are coming in. So this is a step, you know, it is a step, but unfortunately, the people in my life have to also recognize these boundaries that I'm putting up and they're not just yet. And that is a slow process because they say it, but they're resisting it at the same time. You know,
particularly when they're used to you showing up.
It feels like abandonment. It feels like so we're not.
Yeah.
Right. So these are the conversations that I'm having and they're also exhausting. I'm tired of, I'm tired of having to explain it. Mm-hmm. And then explain it in a way that's loving, that doesn't feel feel like an attack on them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
That's a lot of labor you're doing over there. But I hear
too
you.
Too much. A lot of fucking labor.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
And this is a thing that I do because it makes me happy. So it's like, I know people are like, well, you got to take a break. But I'm like, I don't want to take a break from the thing that I love so much. This is where I feel good.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where I feel like I'm in my purpose, where I'm in my passion. So it's life and it's a season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, and I'm not going to lose sight of the fact that this is not all the time.
Yes.
I think we easily do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My life is this. My life is that. Everything is grandiose in this way. And it's like, this is a season. Your life is also really beautiful.
Yep.
You have a very supportive man who's solid, been solid as a fucking rock this whole time.
Love to see it.
Ass friends. You have people stepping up. It took me all of 3 or 4 days to get the calendar full of guests for this month when I said, I need y'all. Cashing in favors. When can you record? Mm-hmm. 3 days, the calendar's full. We're ready to go.
Okay, beautiful.
So it's like, there, yes, this other stuff is going on, but there's so much else. And I cannot lose sight of that. And I won't.
That's beautiful. That's so great. You're not telling me.
But thank you for that. I thank you for that because I need to hear it, but I'm trying to do better. I truly am.
No, you're doing it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you. Well. Voicemails.
Segue.
No segue.
I said, well.
Moving right along.
I'm gonna lighten it up. Sorry.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess.
No, I feel like
she said enough emotional vulnerability.
I'll be vulnerable. I mean, shout out to dating coach Awar. He said a lot of people confuse vulnerability with just being open, and being emotional. I said, shut up. I'll be honest. I actually sent it to my ex and I said, I did this to you and I'm sorry. I had limited tools. And he responded and was like, you know, I had limited tools too, or whatever. He was like, we both doing better. Like, we both doing all right. We both did moved on. But I was like, let me take this accountability. Because I thought there were ways in which I was vulnerable, but there were also ways that I was just an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
Shout out to you. Nana, have you ever done that? I appreciate when
I did.
People I've and dated really, do that. And I've done the same. So y'all good women. It really wasn't.
No.
Oh, well, that's a risk that you take. Yet. Considering or the circumstance or what it was, maybe, you know.
Y'all both know him. And I came to yes.
Is it who I don't like?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I came to him and I apologized because I
for what?
I was about to say, what have you done wrong with any men? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Bo. No,
I don't but I know.
Take it back. Text him now and say I take it back.
it's so fine. I think I needed that. It was actually after the event that you and you and Joelle did at Babaloft.
Oh,
talking about community and not always supporting people in community. It was something that was shared, and it made me think of him. And so I remember on my way home, I sent him a voice note. About like just apologizing if I didn't give you the space to show up freely. And he thought that I was being manipulative and that he didn't receive it with sincerity. It was actually nuts. And that was kind of the affirmation that I needed that like, oh, you and I are, this is not going to work.
Don't leave. Let this die. Let this be dead.
Yeah. But yeah. So I do, I think that like, I think it's really, I never want to be somebody like, I don't think, thankfully, I've never dated anybody who has like done really heinous things to me where I, you know, cast you away. Like I would never want to have people in my, like, I don't feel like I have that energy with anybody. And so like, particularly with that person, I was like, this is an opportunity. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm gaining more tools. I'm hearing things about myself. Maybe I haven't always shown up my best. And I thought that was not necessarily admirable, but I was proud of myself to acknowledge it. And then not only just think about it for myself, but like you did, take the action to actually address it with the person. And it was really interesting that it was received in that way. But I'm happy that your ex was thoughtful and considerate.
Well, he's done therapy ever since us. Yeah. He's been in therapy.
Oh,
that was 8 years ago. So shout out to him doing the work.
Yeah,
this person needs a lot of help. But you know, we send up.
Hey, everyone on their own journey, as they say. Everyone's on their own journey.
But I do. I think it's really important. I think if you notice, and it doesn't only have to be in relation, like romantic relationships,
even
in
relationships.
If you haven't shown up in your family. I haven't always been the best sister. I haven't always been the best daughter. And I have those conversations with my family often, apologizing about things that I've done. And, you know, I think that that's really, it's good for you, but also really healing for your relationships. Even if they're not ones that you revisit. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important. So.
Mm-hmm. Lessons, y'all. Mm-hmm. All right. Voicemails. We're getting the voicemails. Listener voicemails.
Okay.
We had a lot. I couldn't play. I couldn't play. We playing two.
Oh.
Because it was just so many.
Yeah, on and popping. Let us see.
Yeah, I know.
No, a lot of it was about dating coach Anwar. But most of it was just people saying, I'm so happy he was on. I love him. He dropped gems.
Okay.
So that's great. We don't have to, thank you. I listened.
Received,
and I'm so happy that he resonated. But I want to play the ones that are like, you know, going to prompt us to respond. So
sure, okay.
Here's the first one. This is not about dating coach Anwar, but you will see.
Morning, Shanti and Sumit. This is Donovan from South Carolina. I hope I don't ramble or sound crazy because I literally just woke up, but this has been on my mind for like the past couple of days, kind of a few weeks. And I first want to give y'all praise. Like, y'all are one of my favorite podcasts by far. I've been listening for a few years. Like, y'all are amazing. Like, just the things that y'all are doing with vulnerability, politics, goofy shit. Like, y'all are amazing podcasts. Like, I literally, when we look back at the legacy of Black podcasting, Black women-led podcasting, I think that y'all will be among, like, history, right? Because we think about podcasts, we don't think about it as history, but it is. Nonetheless, I want to go to the conversation that y'all were having with Crystal and Jay, but just in general that y'all have on the podcast about American electoral politics, the state of America, democracy, and all that. And this is kind of more towards Antoinette, but I would love if y'all could talk about it in general. But I find it funny how every week, and maybe it's not just you, Antoinette, just the general rhetoric around this next election, this idea that we need to be saved from Trump, or that whatever is going to happen in November is going to be like some culmination that is going to save us. And I think it's ridiculous. And I think it's the exact reason that we are in the state that we are in. Like this idea, and it even in the clip of the episode that you played with Crystal and Jay, which I love that episode, but it was kind of ticking at me about this idea. What would it be like to organize under Trump? And like, we don't have to imagine that because we're seeing what fascism is organizing under Biden. We saw what it was organizing through Trump the first time. We saw what it was organizing through Obama. Like, there's no need to have this, like, grandiose, like, distant future thinking about, oh, the big bad Trump, when we're seeing the same level of militarization of the police, of, like, infringement on rights under Biden, him going back on student loan debt, him not codifying Roe versus Wade, like, the inability for people to live and pay for things. Like, I think that it's crazy that we're having this conversation when all of the signs are pointing to white supremacy is going to win either way. So I think that, like, that's worth a conversation. And I think that is.
He got cut off. It's a 3-minute limit. Sorry.
Okay. That was an interesting perspective.
I'm going to shut up.
Yeah. It was a roller coaster ride.
I was like, oh, you have me.
You have me that you lost me and you have me again. Nada, go ahead. Because I saw your face.
What did the gentleman say his name? Up. What's his name?
Mark, I believe.
Mark.
From South Carolina.
I could have it wrong, though. I don't think that was his name. One moment.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it was either. I know he's from South Carolina, though. My reading comprehension got me on that.
Donovan. Mark was a gentleman on our Patreon that was talking his shit. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Where do I start? So, I think people, okay.
Go ahead, Miss Political Science. Break it down for us.
So there are a lot of things that he mentioned. Like I said, that it was kind of like an ebb and a flow. I was with him and then I wasn't. I understand the sentiments around, and I think we kind of even talked about this in our Monday episode, where one singular person is not going to save or destroy the United States of America. Our government is set up with some checks and some balances that are supposed to spread the responsibility, spread the power, so there isn't one singular force that is in control. Mm-hmm. And so, while I think with every presidency, with every administration, there are things that people do that we like and a lot of things that they do that we don't like. And I think that's kind of just there's you're never gonna find somebody in whose administration does everything that you want them to do, because that's why we have Congress, that's why we have, you know, our Supreme Courts. That's there, like I said, there are other parties that we have to that are also responsible for creating laws, passing laws, all those kinds of things. So I will say the student loan debt, there are a lot of people who got those emails that said that their loan has been cleared.
$144 billion has been forgiven. And the people that blocked the student loan forgiveness that he tried to do, I just didn't say, were the Republicans.
Not Joseph. Exactly.
It wasn't Joseph. He tried.
It wasn't Joseph. And so while I agree with him about inflation, I agree with him about housing costs, I agree with him, even, I mean, putting this at the feet of white supremacy and capitalism primarily, I agree with him there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, and no one should be disillusioned to think that the person that we vote for in November for president is going to come in and just save everyone's life. And the next
doesn't
morning,
work that way.
It's never worked that way. The system is not created to work that way. We mm-hmm. also have a responsibility to be educated voters and vote for people, down ballot, like our local, senators, our state representatives, all of those people. Those are the folks who actually impact your day to day. And so I think that while this country does a really good job of focusing on our presidential elections, there's a significant more participation that we need to do on the local level. The one thing I will say, because it sounds like he's trying to conflate Joe and Trump, is while Joseph is not doing things that we may appreciate, particularly when it comes to what's happening in Gaza, with things that are happening with inflation, just general economics around how hard it is to live in America these days. Morally, he is working within the systems that have been created. The concern that I have with Trump and the issue that I think we've seen even in him losing the election in 2020 and towards the end of his first term or his only term as president, is that he is willing to erode some of the rules. The funny thing about our current government structure is a lot of them is like an honor system. A lot of this is like, these are niceties. These are norms. They're not written down anywhere. Yeah, they're not law. And so like you have to hope that you're not going to find somebody with authoritative mindset who is not a baby dictator, who doesn't glorify dictators, to come in and erode a lot of those norms and a lot of those morals. And I feel like what we've seen, the little that we've seen with Trump, is that is somebody who is very excited, if given the opportunity to be president again, to erode all of those norms, to really dismantle the structures that we have in place. A lot of our agencies, like he is somebody who wants to absorb all of the power. And I feel like with his first administration, and we talked about this in our Monday episode, there were enough people in place that were like, we can't let him get too far. Yes, we'll play with him a little bit. We'll appease him a bit, but we won't cross this threshold. I feel like what he learned in his first term is how to now stack the deck with his cabinet, to have a lot of yes men, a lot of MAGA supporters in place, to where he won't have any opposition.
Can I add on to that?
Of course.
Because you're laying this out beautifully. And I want to have some facts here.
Oh, yes. Hit us with it.
A little bit of research. So you are spot on. When Trump has been asked about what his regret.
Oh, my God.
Any regrets that he's had of his last election or his last
administration,
it's always the people that he had around him.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's always the people who checked and balanced him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen to The Daily had a whole piece on how Trump wants more allies and greater control over the federal bureaucracy, mm-hmm. where he wants to increase presidential power over federal agencies, centralizing his control and government over the White House by getting rid of like 50% of federal workers. It is well known that federal workers, they don't come in and out with administration, different administrations, yep. right? Their jobs are secure. They continue on. He wants to get rid of them and replace them with all of the people that he deems fit. Mm-hmm. And he's already doing the opposition research on this. Oof. He's already mm-hmm. doing it to figure out who to put into place. He's already researching what judges to put in place locally to push his agenda. Another thing that he wants
to... federal judges, they have lifetime courtship yes. too. Like they don't, it's not term. Well. Yeah.
Yes. He wants to use the U.S. troops on domestic soil. Never been done. So when we're talking about the militarization of the police.
Of the police.
You want to take it a step further?
And had well, he was button. Right about the fact that they're both doing that, but there's levels.
There's levels.
Yes.
And I would levels. Never yeah. argue against that. Ever. Yeah. Ever. Yeah. Absolutely right. That's where we were saying, we riding this wave with yes. you, bro. Yeah. Because you saying it, you're like, oh, he's yeah, not yeah, wrong. Yeah. And then you're like, wait. So the federal troops he wants to use at the border. Mm-hmm. He wants to have federal mm-hmm. troops at the border. That is his
detention camps.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He also oh my God, wants yes. to, he also recently said that he wants federal troops to come in when people are protesting.
Yeah, he said that he would have sent them in for the
he would have
the
sent
students.
The fucking military in yep. on these students. Okay,
and some states are already passing legislation to kind of outlaw protest. I mean, yep. I think the Supreme Court just
yes, the Supreme Court is hearing
to a case about that. Hearing, yeah.
We just talked about that. Supreme Court is hearing a case that is your First Amendment right,
mm-hmm.
and they
it's
are hearing a case
yep.
to outlaw it. It's like yeah. it's getting serious. Like
spooky season.
This
yeah.
shit is spooky. Spooky it's season. Levels to this shit. He also wants to get rid of. He wants to pull out of NATO completely.
Oh well, he's been said that. Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, yeah.
He's gonna do it. He's yeah. like, I'm out. We don't need to help all these fucking people. Yeah. We just need to be the superpower, and everybody needs to be scared of us. What you don't understand is if you are the superpower on your lone island, and all these people. Join up against you. Like, it's just goofy. And it's also yeah. NATO. People feel different ways about NATO. But I don't know enough about foreign policy, but I don't know that it's a great idea to pull out from our allies and just say, good luck, and not think that you finna ruffle some feathers and shake some shit up. Okay?
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, that's how diplomacy... there's hard diplomacy and soft diplomacy. Hard diplomacy right. is... We're lining up some troops at the border. You know, that's the militarization and that kind of side. But soft politics is probably the majority of the, I'm sorry, soft diplomacy is the majority of the diplomacy work that takes place. That's the stuff that you never see that's happening right.
behind
the scenes.
The curtain.
On Monday, we just talked about, you know, one of the diplomats who, you know, residing from their post. Mm-hmm. There's a shit ton of work that happens behind the scenes that none of us ever sees the day of the light, you know, and right. that's intentional in a lot of ways. But I think the thing that was most concerning to me about Brother Donovan is, and this is not something that's unique to him. I think it's a byproduct of kind of like the media environment that we live in, especially yeah. since post 2016, is that both sidism, that mm-hmm. false equivalency of like, oh yeah, no, they're just the same. It's just that they're the same. It's like, nah, they're actually like decidedly not the same person. And not just off the strength of like who they are and what they represent, but also what they stand for. You know, right. as disillusioned as I might be, I've always been really intentional about never letting that border into apathy. Cause mm-hmm. I think once you get to full on apathy or just, you know, not being at all invested or dialed into what's happening, that's when shit really gets scary. That's
and
when
you are someone who, I want to be clear, you are someone who is Not for the working on the inside. You are very...
No.
Yeah. Obi wants us to burn the whole shit down.
Yeah, burn the shit down. Bring the guillotine back, man. So
that's why your perspective is so invaluable, because you are somebody who's like, this shit ain't... This is all white supremacy, and I'm not with this
shit. It is.
But you're still...
But there's still levels in the fuckery.
It's like, pick your hard.
Yeah.
You want Trump hard?
No, it's true. Biden hard? It's true. It's true. It's true. And I hate to kind of distill it down to that, because it is frustrating feeling that we're always kind of held hostage by this by this cycle, you know, of like, oh yeah, the election of a life, of your lifetime. Been hearing that our whole fucking lives, you know what I mean? But I still think that, like, to say with your chest that these two people are on any type of same footing, I think that's a really dangerous kind of perspective to take on, because I'm afraid to think of what may be in store for us if that's kind of the perspective that we all have, because shit's gonna get real weird real fast. And if we thought that's what happened the first go around,
right?
Trump has held nothing back in being really open about what he has lined up for his second term. And, you know, Antenna, you referenced that Daily podcast. And I think that all came from a Time interview.
The New York Times. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have an amazing article as well.
For sure. So definitely link that out. But yeah, man, Donovan, I hear you, bro. I hear you that shit is frustrating, and it's sometimes it's hard to see what the difference is in your day-to-day under these people. But yeah, man, they are not the same.
Definitely not the same. I think it's going to be a series that they're going to continue to post. And so hopefully we'll just continue to learn more. But the scarier thing for me is that he's not being bashful about this at all.
Oh, he has been.
Openly. So like, there's no way that we can blindly say that we didn't know. I really love, Obi, that you're saying that we need to make the distinction, because they are not the same. Mm-hmm. And I think it's imperative that we educate ourselves. And I'm saying everybody needs to be a political scientist, because we got shit to do. But I think it's important for us to at least stay abreast on some of the things that are happening, on what people's positions are. Like, this man is telling you word for word what he plans on doing. And if you are apathetic, if you don't vote, if you don't care, if you're not engaged, we are literally handing this country over to somebody. This may sound like hyperbole, but this may be our last election. Like, I honestly have that concern when it comes to if he wins in 2024.
He told people to kill his vice president.
He did.
He's like, literally arguing in court right now that it has full immunity. His lawyer argued that if he wanted to take out an adversary as president, he should have immunity for that.
And it's in the country's best interest that he does that.
Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The guy who told us to drink bleach,
right?
Yeah.
And who be beefing with everybody, like, and
looking at the sun. Yeah, that man's different.
But if we're keeping it a buck, 2016, he said I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue.
Oh no, he did.
And so, like, this is no one should be surprised.
Mm-mm.
And if you don't care about this country, you feel like it's not going to affect you, then, like, by all means. But it will, because for people who haven't been engaging, You're still feeling the effects. Donovan, like he said, if you think that the militarization of the police is bad now, if you think that it's hard for you to pay your rent, to buy groceries now,
this man,
like, let's be fucking for real.
Video footage of him with all his billionaire, millionaire friends in Mar-a-Lago, and he's telling them, when I get reelected, I'm giving you all tax cuts.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand? No. Every empire's fallen. Here we go.
That's also true.
We're due. Our time's coming,
that's
too.
That's also true. Very young country. But we've been very around young for a minute. And
damn. All right. Donovan, you got the people going, Donovan. All right, let's take a break. We got another voicemail, but that voicemail is going to bring us in to our main topics with Work Babe Pod. So after these messages, we'll be right back. Boop. As someone that has textured and curly hair, I am so excited to share Clairol Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color range specifically for us, the curly, coily girls. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving your curls and your shine. Do y'all know about Clairol Textures and Tones? Because guess what? You finna learn something today. They give you brilliant color and moisture with zero ammonia. Okay? That is almost unheard of. It's quick. It's easy to use. There are 12, count that, 12 new upgraded texture-loving shades just for us. We can feel proud to be able to transform our hair and ourselves right at home. Girls, this is going to save us a lot of time and money. So remember, it's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back. All right, another voicemail that's going to bring us in. Okay. It's going to bring us in.
Now I'm very
excited. I didn't have it queued up.
Take your time.
Got a little too excited there.
Banter, banter, banter.
All right, here we go. Joke, 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 joke.
Joke, 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 joke.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, my name is Malik. I've called in a couple times before, but I was just wanted to speak on episode 347, the relationship, or being ready for a dating partner episode. And at first, I'm not gonna lie, I was gonna kind of avoid it because I'm kind of going through my own weird tumultuous situation with a young lady that I'm trying to get more familiar with. But I would like to say that Anwar provided a lot of good insight, especially me as a heteronormative male, especially when he starts speaking about like the self-actualization part. I've always kind of realized that about myself, like when I am more financially stable, I feel like I'm able to be a better partner because I have less things to worry about, and I can, you know, just be more apt to, again, provide more solutions. And I've always been kind of a solution-oriented person myself, but yeah, that was definitely kind of hitting the nail on the head. So that was definitely very interesting and very realized, or very a very large realization for me personally. And I'm trying to get things together, especially like I was speaking about that young lady, because she's now about to enter a doctoral program. And yeah, I just want to be able to make sure that I am not even just able to keep up, but just contribute. Because to be honest with you, until I get my dream job, which probably won't be at least for the next 15 to 20 years minimal, she probably will be the breadwinner in that relationship, if it is so see fit. So, yeah, but I still want to be able to pull my weight financially and obviously emotionally and physically, because that's what a partnership is about, in my opinion. But, yeah, I just wanted to speak on that. And also shout out to the dude that was saying that, you know, there are a lot of gentlemen out here who are ready to be in relationships and kind of struggle to find partners, because I feel like I'm one of those guys. I think there are definitely some things I could work on, but I feel like as of recent, since I moved back to my hometown a couple years ago, I've tried to place myself in positions with the type of women I would like to see a future with, and a lot of times they aren't accepting of the type of love and affection that I'm willing to give due to different traumatic experiences. So, yeah, it's a weird situation out here. So, keep doing what you guys are doing. Thanks. Bye.
Let me give y'all some background on what Dating Coach Anwar said. Dating Coach Anwar said, and I pushed back a little bit, but I could have been wrong. I said, oh, shit. But he basically was saying that men need to be financially straight in order to date and be ready for a partner.
Get
if they are not, that they will feel emasculated. They will not feel good about themselves. They will not be able to show up. And they will find their masculinity somewhere else, whether it's cheating, whether it's being possibly aggressive with you, whatever the case is, they're going to assert themselves. So they need to be self-actualized. And to Dating Coach Anwar, self-actualization is them having their career together and them being financially straight. My pushback was, well, you know, same shit I'm always talking about. What does that mean? Like, does that mean that a man can't date, isn't deserving of love, isn't ready to be loved if he's not financially straight? Like, that's, to me, it's like we're upholding the patriarchy. Like, that
100%.
It's unfair to tell a man that. And also, like, can
doesn't you... Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, though.
No. And that's yeah. That was the rebuttal. But I'm saying my stance, and I think Shanti's stance as well, because she was like, oh, that's what we say all the time. Shit, Anwar. basically was like, you know, that might be the reality right now, but it's the reality because we're saying it is and we're upholding it. So how do we change it? And he was like, men and women are different. Mm. And men are wired this way, and this is just what it is. We were like, okay. Well, yeah. We kind of sat back, got smoked.
Okay.
But
I hate it.
I will say the only people in my DMs and in my tweets that are agreeing with me are women.
Agreeing in which way? Just to confirm. Agreeing that the
I'm
men.
I'm so happy you pushed back. Like, okay. I didn't agree with that part. You know, it's too much pressure. And then other women are like, nah, he fucking right. These men need to get together. But there has not been one man that said,
nah, take care of me.
No, and I asked a lot of my male friends.
Man, wouldn't say that.
I asked, but I engaged them at the wedding and was like, and they were like, what? No, like, they're also.
I was like, those.
They're and also they're, Nigerian, well-to-do men.
Yeah. Okay, very different context. Yeah,
That's a bad
wrong sample size. wrong sample size to ask that question.
But they were like, "Nah, you gotta have your shit together, or not. Yeah. You don't need to be in any woman's face." So we're here with a man who dates
with
women.
A very thoughtful man.
Oh,
what do you
see,
have to say, Obi?
That's funny that y'all bounced it on me because I have many thoughts, but I think a good place to start is with y'all. Y'all are women, and as far as I know, I know Antoinette be having some queer tendencies sometimes. I don't know about Nana, but for two women who predominantly date men, is that some tea Nana didn't know about? Oh, damn, I'm here dropping shit.
Everybody.
Oh, I was about to say,
I know her.
She made a face. I didn't know what it was for.
I just was like, why would, whatever.
Antoinette talks about it on here. I listen to Around the Way Curls.
I'm a part of the community.
Period.
Listen.
What a...
No, but I'd be curious how this has impacted and affected y'all dating lives. Is that something that has come into play when you are considering who may or may not be a good suitor or a good match for you? Or are y'all the new, you know, enlightened women who just that don't think about that at all?
Obi, you dated me.
Right. I'm just like,
you get them on her. You dated me.
No,
did I show up like that?
I'm asking. We dated briefly. I feel like some of these things come out. No, you didn't.
Okay.
I'm sample size of one though. I don't know if that might have been a comfort level that you reached for whatever reason. I might not have all that context and kind of background to speak on that. So I'm just curious.
No. Yeah. I've dated men with money. I've dated men without money.
Is there a difference?
Both scenarios, of course, there's a huge difference. But
what's the difference?
The difference is just in what we're doing. What is accessible to us?
Okay.
You know, the man with money is able to, you know, am I going to sit here and lie that when I'm at a very fancy restaurant and the check comes and he don't even look at it, he just passes the card off, that's not like, oh, damn. But if there's also an insecurity in me of like, I need to do something. I need to this. And so I've had to unlearn that in dating someone who was very wealthy. The other thing with that is like, even in that relationship, there was still a portion of me of like, no, I want to get it this time, please. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, but at least I could get the dessert afterwards or something if we go to Levain's.
Okay.
You know, that's really the difference. And I think it's for a lot of women, it's a lifestyle thing. A lot of women feel secure and like, and a lot of women, times are hard. If you have a lot of money, you have more access to shit. We can do more shit. That's really what it boils down to for me. And I'm like, you know, I'm in a relationship now. There was not a part of me that looked at him and looked at his assets or looked at that stuff that made me want to date him. Mm-hmm. What made me want to date him was our conversation, me being physically attracted to him and his genuine interest and energy with me. I didn't even know what the hell he had, what he didn't have, or any of that before we really, before I was all in. It was like, oh shit, okay, cool. But it's even then, it's like, I got it. Let me do something. Shit is expensive in the city. That's how I operate.
No, that's real.
I will not lie and say that I don't know other women. I think about Jasmine's song, The Other Side, you know, where she's like, I want to know what that is. I want to be rich. I want to feel. And I think that's a symptom of capitalism where it's like, I want to feel fucking freed up. But I also think that it's very, very, I think it's unfair. I think that it's limiting. And I think that it's surface and a little bit shallow. Like those nice hotel rooms are nice until you get in the bed and you have nothing to talk about. Or you can't call that person in case of an emergency. Like all of that stuff is like stuff. It's wonderful if you find the guy who has it plus the emotional intelligence and all that. Cool. It's then you have access. But I don't know.
Yeah. How about you, Nana?
So now I don't know if this is just an excuse that men have told me, but I've dated my fair share of guys who've been like, I'm really interested in you. I like you, but I need to get my life together. I need to, you know, achieve X, Y, and Z before.
Life or finances?
Finances. Well, that's what, to me, and I agree with you when you, they're synonymous with each other. That like, if I'm not financially stable or I haven't attained a certain level of wealth or career, like I haven't, you know, hit a certain career title or whatever, then like I don't have the capacity to be in this relationship with you. And I agree with you wholeheartedly about how limiting that is, because while it would be nice, because I've never really had anybody trick on me. I've never been flued out. I've never gone to the fancy schmancy place. No.
Mr. NFL didn't.
But I'm also, we did a trip, but it was, girl, whatever.
You paid for your flight.
Oh, damn.
I did pay for my flight.
What is going
on? What is going on?
But also, is that fair for us to be saying?
And so that's the thing for me, too. It's like, you can have all the money in the world. Are you generous? Are you generous with
that'll
your
mean
time?
That you're generous.
Are you generous with your
that's
heart?
True.
Are you generous with your mind? Like, that's it's a lot point. Of niggas out here who got it, who not giving it up. And so that's you wasting your time chasing pockets that you'll never have access to. So for me, it's like, I'm not saying that I want to be a sugar mama or I'm out here trying to take care of a man. No, but I also understand completely what Antoinette shared, that this is partnership. I'm looking for a real partner. And if that, I mean, when old boy said 10 to 15 years, I was like, if you don't cut the
what
bullshit.
What is his career path? No, what does he want to do with me? That's what I was curious. I was like, what career path requires 20 years to get where you're trying to get?
Well,
like,
he could be wanting to be a CEO of a huge company and be starting something from scratch. Who knows?
And, you know? And so you have this, you have met, you have had, and this is the thing too, that I think that people really misunderstand. And I think because we have the internet and dating apps and people just feel super accessible, like you could, you know, skip over a bad bitch. If you found somebody that loves you and cares for you and is considerate of you and you and is willing to ride out with you, and you're telling her, well, I'ma need 10, 15 years before I could really commit to you because I'm working on my career, you're a fool.
That's not what he said though, in all fairness.
Yes, I was about to say that's what he said.
That's what I heard. So
he just said that he
was already.
I think that's what you, I think you're being triggered because that's what you heard.
Yeah, you are.
Because I was like, sir.
That's not what he said.
Just let this lady love you and love this lady and y'all can get there together.
He said she would probably be the breadwinner because it would take him to be able to meet her. But he's still in a position where he's ready and willing to be loved and loved.
Okay. You know? I rescind my comment because I was, but that's
what you've heard.
That's something that, that I feel like men have at least maybe not explicitly said to me, because it does feel like, well, so like, do you not have anything else to offer? Is it just your pockets that, and I know you, Antoinette has shared that like the societal structures, I will never know the pressures to be a man. I will never know the pressures to be a provider and a protector in that regard. And so I do have a bit of compassion there, but I also will challenge men to say that, like, if all you're concerned with is being able to be financially stable so that you can finally be in a relationship, that lets me know how little you think of yourself and what you would be in relationship.
Ooh, let him tell us, Obi.
It's tricky.
Okay, tricky.
Because I feel like I've been on every which side of the spectrum when it comes to this conversation. I would push back ever so gently to what you just shared, Nana, because I can only speak for myself. I know any moment where I've been in that position where maybe Malik was, especially in my 20s when fucking trying to figure shit out in a new city, just out of grad school, you know, a lot of stuff all over the place. It is very easy to kind of get in your head when it comes to that and about your, what's the word I would use? Your
value.
Yeah, actually, that probably is the best word. Yeah, your value, your status, and what you might have to offer when it comes to romantic love, especially and particularly in a backdrop where all the messaging and socializing you've received your entire life is that is what it takes to be a good partner as a man.
Sure.
Is to be the breadwinner or is to be the provider, you know, and all that means. And I think a lot of times when people use that phrase, they're not talking about providing emotional support or providing, you know, love. They're talking about money. They're talking about fucking dollar bills in the bank account. So if that's how you've been raised your whole fucking life and you're now in your 20s and your 30s and you're trying to navigate the dating pool and all that you've been told is that this is what it takes to be a good man, to be a good partner, or to be an eligible bachelor, it takes a lot of intentional work to unroot that. And I've been on that process myself. And I'm happy that I was able to kind of work through those tensions myself. Because like you guys shared, it is very self-limiting, but also on the other side as well, not just for the men or women who may kind of have that perspective on love or finances when it comes that way, but also you as the man in this situation, it's also very self-limiting for you. Because just like you shared, Nana, and I believe Antony, you did as well, don't block your blessings. You don't know what role or what interest or what desire or what connection may be available to you with a person that you are now severing or cutting off because of whatever insecurities or holdups that you have. Because best believe, I believe his name is Malik, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Malik, trust me.
Yes,
if she's into you and she is giving you her time, that's for a reason. That's exactly. for a reason. And I would be very surprised if high on that list is how many dollars you got in the bank account. And there's obviously something else that you are bringing to the table, something else about how you are carrying yourself, something else about how you are showing up in the world that has made you attractive to her. And that's something that you should be able to be proud about and to exactly. and to stand on. And now, I mean, Nana, you know my story. God forbid you run across somebody.
What's the story? There's
some ladies out here. Oh, tell them, yeah. Obi. Tell them.
So I went on a date. I was like, this is a while back. I think it was probably like a second or third date. And we had agreed to go out, not Blue Note. It was one of them little spots near it to catch some live music, some drinks. All right, cool. So we get to the end of the night. We've had a good time. Everything's been good up to that point. And that is when I very quickly realized that I forgot my wallet because the check came. I was ready to throw down. I was ready to pay for it. And I realized that I forgot my wallet at home that day. And I think this was before like the tap to pay really took mm-hmm. off, you know, otherwise I would just use my phone. So I told her, I was like, hey, awkward. Sorry, this is happening. And I promise I'm not just trying to, you know, get off on you. But if you don't mind, please cover this. And I'm going to Venmo you right now, like for the full amount. Just go ahead and take care of it. And I'll Venmo you and we're good. In my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's an easy solution. She'll pay it. I Venmo her. It's as if I paid because I still right. did. Mm-hmm. The way she was in a tizzy, she was so fucking upset. She just couldn't believe that I would. She was like, oh, I don't know what kind of woman you think I am. I don't know why you thought it would be okay to take me out and not be. I was like, sis, like, I'm going to pay. I'm like, my phone's right here. I'm about to Zelle wasn't out of the. I'm about to Venmo you this right now. But no, like some people, and I don't want to just say just women, because I think the attachment to this kind of construct applies on both sides. But yeah, some women are really about that life. Like, no, mm-hmm. I'm not bringing my card out for nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, you are paying for everything anytime we are spending time together. Mm. So I've yeah. And after that, and I was like, yo, and it was frustrating, not frustrating. I mean, I think for me, that made it abundantly clear that her and I probably wouldn't be a good match. Exactly. Like you will say, Antoinette, clarity is a gift. Any way you can get it, like that is going to be well received. But it sucked because up until that point, I would have had no other reason to think that we weren't compatible. But when she showed out like that, I was like, okay, got you. You got it. You got it. This is obviously I'm not seeing you again after this, because what that said to me is like, if you are this rigid about this, you got to be rigid about some other shit too, that I've just yet to experience or that's yet to come to light. But yeah, man, it gets weird out in these streets sometimes.
Have you dated people with more money than you?
I've dated both. Women with more money and less, yeah. Were you and some that were probably right around.
When you were dating, how did you feel in both scenarios?
I'll say in the situations where I was making less, and I think a more accurate reference point would probably be where I was in my life versus just like, were they making more or was I making less? Because in my 20s, for example, I would get like kind of self-conscious or like insecure about that. In a way that now on the other side of 30, when I've dated women who do make more money than me, I don't have any insecurities about that at all at this point. But there was a point in my life where, yeah, absolutely. Even one of my first girlfriends actually here in New York when I first moved out here, it was one of those weird things where like she said she was cool with it. Like, cause you know, after some time, the money conversation came up, but I always kind of got the sense that like, she wasn't all the way comfortable with it. And that kind of ended up coming, rearing its head in different ways. But where was I'm at now, sorry, no, go ahead, Nana.
No, I mean, in that situation, was it a space where like you guys were limited in the kinds of things you were doing? Like you would still cover dates and things or
yeah, I would.
She would, or like, how was it manifesting itself to where you felt like there was an awkwardness or maybe a bit of, I don't want to say resentment, but like there was an energy towards money?
I think a lot of it had to do when it came to talking about like our future together or talking about stuff moving on. I think that's where that, you weren't far off with resentment, but just where that tension is probably a better word to use, where that tension kind of settled in. Of her not feeling all the way, you know, maybe comfortable or happy about where I was at. And mind you, she had a few years on me. I tend to date older when I get in relationships. So I think that was something that I would try and let her know. Well, hey, you know, don't forget here. You got a good 3-4 years on me. Like, I'm gonna get there. I might not be there right now, but that's how that showed up then. And Antonio, you asked about the other way around. I've never even thought about it. Like when women have made less, it's never anything that I've held over their head or that I've made them feel insecure about. Cause I know, unfortunately, that is a way that men also abuse women is financially is by holding that over their head. Oh, you know, I'm the one who's paying all the bills or I'm the one who's paying the rent. And then unfortunately, you know, women and femmes find themselves in some tough situations as a result of that. You know, or maybe staying in relationships or setups that they wouldn't have otherwise if that wasn't, you know, a part of the equation.
I ask because I wonder sometimes, I think in a lot of my relationships, I won't say that I made more money than the men that I'm dating, but I think I tend to date a lot of creatives. And so there is just like a lack of consistency with payment
with money coming in. Yeah, that's
exactly
real.
And so it's like they do projects and they get copious amounts of money, but there may be some lulls where you know they're riding on whatever savings they have. And I think Antoinette and I are very similar in our thinking that, like, you know, yes, it would be nice, but I don't have a problem with, like, I really enjoy spending time with you. If that means I have to cover the bill or we're going half or whatever, like, that isn't something that I really think about. But I wonder if there, and this is kind of talking about maybe, you know, some self-actualization, is like, are there things that I was doing in those relationships or ways that maybe I was emasculating or making a sensitive situation even more sensitive by being so willing? I don't know. Like, because to me, it's like, oh, I'm being thoughtful and considerate of your circumstances. And what matters more to me is that we do have this time together. It doesn't really matter what the thing is, but I've had men tell me that, like, no, like, if I don't have it, I don't want to see you because I can't do X or I can't do Y. And I'm like, but I'm like, I'm willing to go to the park. We could just go for a walk. There's so many, like, we live in New York. There's so many free things to do or really inexpensive creative things that we can do. But I would always get the pushback. Well, like, I'm not in a space to even think about doing that with you or wanting to do that with you because what I would really like to do is this really nice thing. And I'm like, but like,
that's not the partner for you.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
Because, yeah, that word has come up, I think, once or twice now in terms of emasculate. And that's a word that even I've had to sit with over time. And I think where I've landed is I don't know if anyone else outside of you can really emasculate you.
I don't
know.
Think so. Like,
I think that's something that not that you're necessarily allowing to happen to you, but I think if you are experiencing that, I think that's really pointing to maybe a larger insecurity that you're having around a thing and much less to do with, oh, Nana emasculated me or Antoinette said some shit and I feel emasculated. I think that feeling, whatever that feeling that's coming up that I'm having, I think a lot more of it has to do with whatever insecurities I might have around that thing than you doing that to me, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. No, you're right. I just feel like I've been in situations where I've been made to feel bad for being considerate and, or what I think is being considerate. And it's just like, you can't win for losing? Like, what do I do in that instance?
I think we'd all do better, especially when it comes to this conversation. Because I'm, my Lord, I'm big on Twitter. I know, Anton, I know you'd be on there too. Do you have your own, or is it just Around the Way Curls?
That's mine. Shanti doesn't.
Okay, I figured. Because I'm like, this sounds like internet. I'm like, this is internet talking.
She won't get on.
Because I'm so tired of this fucking, the 50-50 convos, the gender wars, it's so all stupid. These conversations. I'm just so over it. Like, and I think an
episode
especially
about this. So
we did. And I feel like especially and particularly for us as a marginalized people, as Black and Brown people, I think we really should be centering our conversations, even when it comes to love, around partnership, around community, around what are the ways that we can. I hate this term, but I'm using it anyway. What are the ways that we can build together? What are the ways that we can create
you hate
together?
That term?
Oh, because that's how people be using it when people want to build their empires and their love. Okay. Oh, we're gonna build together. We're gonna build empires. I don't want to build an empire. I want to love on you. I want you to love on me. I want us to love on our community. But like, I just think we would fare much better if we just diverted some of this energy to. What are the things that we can do that are connective? What are the things that we can do that allow us to fix some of the ongoing disconnects that come up time to time? Because, please save me from another 50-50 convo. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't. There's much better ways that we can be thinking about even economics that are far more constructive. And I think allowing us to build each other up than just finding ourselves stuck in these convos all the time.
100%. Can I ask you something? So in the 50-50 convo, because I agree with you, and I love you had a whole episode.
Me.
Episode 57 was all about like gender wars and just being, you just being like, I'm sick of the gender wars. And
it's a grift.
Yeah. I love this because I ask myself all the time, like, I get why the 50-50 convos happen. It's good clickbait, right? Mm-hmm. We could get on here and go back and forth and argue with each other, and the clips will do what they do, and it'll be a top-rated episode, and it'll get the people going, and it will be...
It's provocative.
It'll be provocative, and it will
gets
be...
the people going.
Super inauthentic. It'll be super inauthentic to all three of us, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God.
But there is, I think, I hate to do this, but there is a Drake kind of
proportion. Girl, Drake into the chat.
I start paying this man.
No, I don't.
How did Drake enter the chat?
Drake entered because it's the pacification of it. It's the dulling of the real. And so there is a propensity for mess. We like mess. Yeah. Even me being hype about the beef.
It's very messy of you.
Well, one, I like to tell myself that I'm hype about the actual artistry. And I am. I'm the one genie. I'm doing all the research. But at the end of the day, I'm hype about it because it's messy. And it's
I think it's a distraction, a much needed one this past
And it's a messy distraction.
Weeks.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair.
You're not gonna here's the deal. I'm equating this like this is a man's Real Housewives at the end of the day. So don't ask us I don't even watch the Real Housewives. But
you can't say it's not. And then all of the commentary around it is giving very gossip.
Y'all go way harder.
So like sports is the same thing then, I guess.
Absolutely.
I guess
girl, sports we've been saying that forever.
Absolutely. It's the same thing.
Y'all into the storylines.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
The storylines of sports, the storylines of this. It's
I'm watching all the talk shows.
Mess.
The game I just watched. Yep.
The propensity of mess. And so I'm like, you know, does me and Shanti say that that's healthy shit, that non-toxic shit, that fully aligned shit don't slap all the time. It don't.
No, like,
real fast. Sometimes
that's got some feelings.
No. Sometimes it really, sometimes it doesn't. Like sometimes we don't want to hear NDIRE. We don't.
Yeah. Neil sold me. Give me India.
Listen, sometimes when you reach the place where there's no tension, you're just like, But that's not what we're saying. No. Let me bring us home. What I'm saying is that's, I feel, I could be wrong. I feel like that is why the gender wars thing lives. There's tension. It's provocative. There's storyline. There's drama. And, you know, at the end of the day, finances do matter. There is a conversation that needs to happen. The conversation is the healthy conversation is kind of corny. You know, it's not as interesting to watch.
Sure.
That's right? Fair. That's
it's
fair.
Just not. Then people and going back and forth. I don't want to see that shit. But what I'm saying is I feel like mass after this pacification is like, yeah, we with the shits. We want to see it get messy. And the 50-50 conversation is a real conversation to have. If you and I are about to align, I got to know how much the rent is and how much you want me to pay. Or the mortgage.
For sure.
You know, like, we have to work these things out. What are the expectations here? Do we, finances matter in that partnership? But that conversation doesn't look like hollering, screaming at the Blue Note.
Exactly. I think it's the arena that is the issue. Because you're right. Of course, these things are shit. I forget. I think it's either the number one or number two reason why divorces happen is
it's
money.
One.
It's finances. Yeah. So this is
you
real
would think it's cheating.
Shit. Don't
they
get
like,
me wrong.
I'm cheating because you broke.
Yeah.
You never know.
But I think it's the arena and the kind of the discourse, the volume, if you will, that I think is where the mess comes in, because I think that the tenor of that conversation is going to be very different. At least I would hope it is. If I'm talking one-on-one with you, Nana, let's say with Daniel, Antoinette, that's going to be I think that takes on a different frequency than when that conversation is happening on social media, especially on Twitter of all places, where you've got 140 characters to air out whatever you got to air out. So a lot of times people's takes or opinions or input is very truncated. It's very black or white. It's very binary. There's no nuance to a lot of these conversations that happen online or in social media that I think even the space that we're doing now, a podcast, a conversation with your friends, a group chat, that I think lends to itself more than some of the places and ways that we go about it is what I think.
But I also think, and the thing that frustrates me the most about seeing this discourse online, and I'm not on Twitter, so a lot of this I'm seeing like clips of stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm missing a whole lot. You could.
or things that land on Instagram from TikTok is like, there is no, I feel like it's mess for mess sake.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I say it's a grift, because we've been having this conversation since the beginning of time, since Black people landed in this country. We've been there are systems in place that are pinning us against each other. Mm-hmm. And when we continue to have this very futile conversation, the masters only win. Like, this is really built to destroy our union, to bring us together. Like, it doesn't serve any other purpose than, to your point, clicks, views, all that kind of goofy shit. And so while I love both of you and I think that we're coming to this conversation with a level of sincerity and trying to reach a goal, I don't think that that's always the vantage point of people who are having these conversations online. To say outlandish things. It's to pick and prod. It's to make one side look worse than the other. And I don't know how you build and foster community with people who think that, like, solely because I'm a Black woman, I'm the bane of the Black family structure. And I'm the reason why, you know, Black men are not in the home and all the, like, there's just so many ridiculous things that are put on both sides. Mm-hmm. And Obi, to your point, while we're listening to this and while, you know, we can say that it doesn't matter, it's just fodder for the internet, these things do penetrate. They do seep into our systems. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of influential people on the internet who are seeing these things and think that they can only go on dates that cost $200 or that I could go to the Blue Note with a guy who I've been on two or three dates with before, had no problem paying for dinner, and then there's one instance where he doesn't have his wallet, and now I'm so taken aback that how dare you ask me to pay? Like, it's ridiculous. And I think that that comes from online and feeling like, well, you know, they're saying that if a man, men only like you if they spend money on you, and this side is telling me that I'm not feminine if I pay, and all these other things. And it's just like, if when you talk to real people in real life, have real conversation, you realize actually a lot of women are dating men who make less money than them, and it's not a problem. There's a lot of us who are dating people who don't look like Instagram models. There's a lot of us who are dating men who are not 6'6", that don't make six figures, that don't have their own home. Like, real people are engaging with real people, and they don't look like, they're not the people that are being described online. They're not the people that you're liking photos on the internet. And I think that if we took the time, if we say that we really care about building community and coming together, if we would take these conversations off of line and have them with people that we actually engage with, then you would realize that there, we have a lot more alignment. And there's always going to be mess, because humans, we are very messy fucking people. And there's, even if we're aligned on one thing, we're not going to be aligned on another thing. There's always going to be something new for me to learn about you. Wow. And so, like, for me, that is why I don't have a problem talking about sex. I don't have we can do the gender, but are we trying to just debate, or are we trying to find resolution? And I think that I'm not seeing the latter often in a lot of these conversations. And that to me feels really destructive, particularly to our community, because quite honestly, they would like to make us think that Black people are the only people having this conversation. That's not true. White people are having this conversation. The Latin community is having this conversation. I don't know if the Asians are having this conversation, but there, or like, you know, South Asian communities. I don't know, but this is not something that's specific to the Black community. I think we're very loud about it. Mm-hmm. I think that, like I said before, a lot of people have realized that they can create platforms and make a lot of money off of this stuff. And so we're just churning out, you know, baby Kevin Samuels and baby Sprinkle Sprinkles. But I don't think in real life, people, y'all are not living y'all raps. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Not nearly as much as people lead them.
It's okay. This is something that I think we should just put to bed.
I will say this, and I'm curious, Antoinette, because I know you be online too, and also maybe even just in the comments that you get on some of your episodes. When I do see some of this content online, I'll say in the past probably year or so, probably at least for the past year, if not a little more, it does seem like there's a changing wave. Where a lot of people in the comments are like, nah, bro, even men and women are like, nah, we're really not trying to talk about this anymore. Or like, nah, like, you know, just like you said, Nana, like, maybe there's other ways or places we can have this convo. Have you noticed that too, Antoinette? Because I have, thankfully, noticed that it seems like the wave is changing a little bit. Nah? You still see the same fuck shit?
I mean, I don't follow it, but okay. Being in conversation on different podcasts and things,
it still comes up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because we're not following that content.
Yeah.
I see. Me and Nana had a whole convo about that on our podcast. But I've been unfollowed them.
Is plentiful.
Alive and well.
It's alive and well. Yep. That thought process is alive and well. I think that while my point of view gets celebrated, I also get flack. I am the male caper. Apparently.
Oh, you do?
I can't do that.
What's the word they love to say? Pick me. Yeah, women love using that word.
People call you a pick me?
Oh, God.
Anytime you're saying something that's not neatly aligned with all the women, they're going to call you a pick me online.
If I even consider men, I'm a pick me. I get it all the time. I mean, I've had people.
That's really sad.
I've had people who I personally know call me that.
That's sad.
I just think that I don't know what the solution is, because as much as we have this conversation, sadly, the people who are already there will like it. They will engage with it. the people who are not will pass it right on by and go back to the mess. And so I think that maybe I'm wrong. I see there's a lot of shit that Shanti and I could do to pop off more.
Yes.
And to be much more popular, to get a lot more money, to be a lot more messy.
Please don't.
Right. It's like, please don't. But also, it's frustrating. I'm not going to. But also, it's like, you know, I could, I have many of friends who are much more provocative than me, and they pop, and they make bad.
Well, yeah, of course.
And, the clicks. And I'm not hating it. I'm not hating on it. Because it's still authentic. To they're not acting. They're not acting.
They're speaking their shit.
I don't agree with it, but you know, it is. It is what it. It just is what it is. I'm genuinely curious. I know that you know, I have conversation again. Like I said, I had this conversation with other men. They were like, "You tripping, and you got to stop dating broke niggas and get your shit together, eh? You cute."
No.
That's literally the conversation. You cute. Stop saying broke niggas. What you doing?
There's a thing, too, that I wish people would realize is available to them more often. It's like, listen, let's say these are two camps we're talking about. Instead of the two camps going bumping heads all the time, whether you're a man, woman, anything, you know, all of that, just date the people who align with your perspective. So if you are team 50-50,
it ain't enough.
But that's the
no,
thing
hold
too.
On, hold
you
on.
Don't, you don't if know you are how team crazy 50-50,
date another person who feels the same way. And if you are vehemently opposed, you're like, nah, fuck this. Women should never put down the card, or like the men you mentioned the wedding, date those people. Those people should date each other. The women
you
who
never
want
know.
To be the women who want to be taken care of, and the men who want to do the taking care of. That there's perfect overlap there. Those people should fuck with each other, and
this,
that's okay.
This is
it's not from a place of judgment.
No, no, I hear you, and I agree with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, let them
I think
date each other.
The reality is, this is where there are more women than
than
men.
Just
in general.
Yes, in just general. On the planet.
So there's a
is
lot
there?
Of.
I didn't know that.
Is it though?
There's also
okay.
a show is 60/40. Anwar was talking about this, and he was like, especially if you only
60/40.
Date if you only date black men, it's even harder.
Oh, oh so cool. That's the that, okay. Y'all talking on, okay. along those lines. Okay.
So it's like a there are I don't know if that's a real possibility for everyone, and I don't know if that we're being.
It's more accessible than I think people realize. Is what I would say.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm out the game. Yeah. I'm trying to be out the game. I don't feel like dating nobody else. I'm trying to be right here.
I was about to say, you got a good
oh,
one.
Oh, that's
girl.
Another
just
thing
down.
That came up on our podcast, too. Me and I were talking about that happened one time, a conversation I was having with my ex. I'm like, yo, because we got into a little back and forth about one of these topics. And I had to call a quick timeout. I was like, yo, this doesn't even apply to us. Why are we talking about, why are we at each other's necks with the same kind of animosity? And we are just fine where we're at right now. Like, sometimes you have to, if this don't even apply to you, why
let
even be in the thick of it? Yeah, let that shit go.
Well, like, we like mess. And the conversations are, they do give you information.
Yeah.
They're fun. And, you know, it's something that it gets the people going.
Yeah.
It gets the people going.
Do what you do.
I just think like there's other things that we could be talking about, folks.
I just think I
so
think
many
people's
other interesting things.
People's takes on a lot of this socioeconomic stuff I think would change, or at least I hope it would, if they took a look at some hard numbers. Look at the numbers of what is the percentage.
Sex.
What is the percentage of, let's say, if you're dating black men, what is the percentage of black men who are over 6 foot? Because that's a big thing on a lot
almost
of
none.
Women's lists. What's so now stupid. Now also let's make a subset of that who are now making six figures. That's barely even the threshold nowadays. 100K might not have been doing 100K in what it used to be. So maybe that's 150. Maybe your number now is 150. I bet. And then now also whatever your last six is, I don't know,
you're
six
literally
pack,
saying
whatever
what
the criteria are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know the percentage of man that you're talking about? And mind you, you are now here potentially competing with other women, or in this case specifically black women, for that same, I don't know,
oh, no,
percent,
not
fraction of a percent.
I was about to say,
what?
Not specifically black women, Obi.
No. I meant just in the convo we're having now, because this applies to the other women for sure as well. But that is such a small segment of the population. No,
our competition is not just black women.
Oh, my bad. I did misunderstand that. But yeah, like that is a very small percentage of men that you're talking about. Like, and if you're not doing yourself any favors out in the dating game, if you are making your window of potential people like that small, you know?
I mean, like who you like, but like you also said before, you may be missing your blessing by limiting yourself. Both on all sides. So
well,
blacks.
I don't know.
I love you guys. I love you too.
Black people. That's black, my favorite meme on TikTok right now. Black people.
I don't know. I think I'm naming this episode, "Can You Emasculate a Man?"
The answer is no.
Okay.
Can I just going to read the definition?
Yeah. Tell us what Webster says.
To castrate. To deprive of strength or vigor. Weaken. Soften, devalue, undermine, debilitate.
Well, then somebody could do that to you.
Well, in the very physical sense, like especially the first one was castrate. Well, yeah, that someone could physically do that to me.
But I could devalue just, you.
You can. But I think could, that I just think that if you were to do a breakdown of like who's more to accountable or to blame for that,
sure.
I think that it's probably more on you. Yeah. So of course you can say what you got to say, but now if I am now receiving that as now truth about me and my and character
it,
or my personhood and internalizing it, that is now a personal decision that I've made.
For sure.
That's now an active choice, you know?
I agree.
Where can the people listen to y'all? Where can the people listen to Nana and Obi?
Oh boy.
Who are out here doing the
we
side
on you on this episode. We just this turned into a work bay
episode. I love it.
Antoinette just there quietly listening
and loving it. I said, "Go ahead, go off."
Y'all got it.
Before
y'all
I said it, I said it. I want the people to listen to y'all because I want them to know to hop on over and listen to this another podcast out here with some perspective that is important. So y'all better go ahead on over there now.
Thanks, sister. Well, we drop every Monday. And you can find us on all platforms at Workbay.
At Workbay Pod is our handle.
That's for Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, how was they gonna find us?
Workbay Pod. But like our the name of our podcast is Workbay with Nana and Obi. And like I said, we drop every Monday. Tune in. We talk about a lot of these things. we're coming to the end of season 4. We took a little break, but we're back.
Yep.
And so that's been really fun connecting with our listeners and fostering our community. We're hoping to have an in-person event this summer. So we can
end of May, early June. Look out for that.
Meet the peoples in real life. So yeah, tune in to Workbay. And get more of this. I don't know what we call it. Intellectual ratchet. I don't know. We just have a good time. We just have a really good time.
And just in case.
And I will say this. Sorry. Go ahead. You gave a beautiful description. I think that was the top of the last episode on Monday. Just for folks who may be curious, our format is very similar to Antoinette and Shanti. We do a deep dive on each episode, whatever the topic or flavor of that week is. And we just get into it just like y'all be doing here, which is why I feel like we've always been a good sister podcast.
We cousins.
Brothers. Y'all come up in our little it. The algorithms even know it. Mm-hmm. They even say, "Oh yeah, if you like this,
highly
you
recommend." Might
like Around the Way Curls. Yeah. And we got a few folks who are longtime listeners Around the Way Curls, Malcolm.
Nana met some people in Toronto.
Oh yeah, when we went to Canada.
We appreciate y'all. We appreciate y'all so very much. We'd love to have y'all on. Antoinette, you've been on, but I don't think Shanti's ever been on.
I don't think Shanti's been on. So you guys are more than welcome.
Yeah.
She'll be a work.
She'll do it. We love her some Nana, so she would do it.
She does. And I love Shanti.
There we go. but we appreciate you having us on. We
really appreciate it. And in case anybody's curious, because I'm sure they gonna ask, are you two in relationships? Are you single?
Absolutely.
What's going
fucking
on?
Sorry.
That shit feels personal at this point.
I thought you
the way y'all both washed your hands with me earlier is crazy.
It wasn't so very inviting, Nana. Wow. I'm trying to get your dim flooded. I'm trying to.
I'm so sorry.
Send love your way.
Yeah, clean up.
I missed all of it.
Clean up.
The way that people always assume Obi and I are together.
No, not y'all in a relationship.
No. I understand what you are saying. The question sounded like, "Are we together?" And I just had to make it.
And
very
I wasn't clear.
That he is my brother.
There was a nicer way to say it, but I'll take it.
But she is very single.
Okay.
Very. The dims are open.
The dims are open.
So,
okay.
You know, if you like what you see, come say hi.
I know that's right. This fucking girl. Let me tell you what. When Nana turns it on.
Go ahead, Nana. Speak your shit.
No,
man.
Seriously. Her and Shanti, when they want to flirt, they can really, they do it. And I'm like, damn.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen Nana at work. Yeah, I've seen Nana at work. She don't got no game. Really? I've seen her at work.
Nana got mad game.
I've been in many rooms
and seen Nana work that room. I believe it.
Damn, girl.
I believe it.
And yet, here I am.
OB, you don't want to say? It's cool.
Oh, no. What? Oh, same question.
DM's open. Yeah, what's going
I'm
on?
Single. DM's right. open. Y'all can slide in. Respectfully. Respectfully.
Respectfully slide. I already know the ones. And I'm thinking about y'all. I know the listeners.
The ones you got. Damn, you.
No, there'd be certain listeners when we have male guests on. I'm thinking about one specifically. Shout out to you. You know who you are. She is a mess. Damn. And I love
hope she
her.
Knows
I
too.
I want to say her name. It's two letters.
Don't do it like that.
I ain't gonna do it, like but that. She is hilarious and she has no shame and she shoots shots. So
I need a lesson. I want to do that.
Listen.
I don't know. These are things that I'm debating because Anwar posted a couple of days ago that women shouldn't approach men, and I was like, that was gonna be my whole summer plan.
Hey, here's what I'm talking about.
See, I don't want to change your guess. I haven't listened to that podcast, but damn, you telling you not to shoot your shots?
I mean. I may not try to bag, but I'm going to say hi. I'm going to let you know that I see you.
I shot my shot. Okay.
You did. And look at the blessing that has been bestowed upon
my first time shooting.
There you go.
Yeah, I need to start following more
men. There you go.
I guess.
You need to be yourself. That's what I'm learning. Be yourself. And
Nana's always herself.
What is
I'm going to give her that.
What will align will align. What is for you will be for you. That's where I'm
at. You're so right.
I could be wrong, though. I don't know.
But like, I also feel like I'm not always really, I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'm not really good at like just putting myself out there. And I just want to do that more.
And so do it.
Okay. So I will.
There you go.
Boom.
There you go. Thank you.
All right, y'all. I so appreciate y'all filling in for my girl.
Thank you so much. Sending so much love to Shanti. We love you.
Yes.
All right.
We love you, Antoinette.
I love y'all too. Thank you so much.
Antoinette about to fall asleep over here.
No, I'm not.
Don't do
she
that.
Is barely holding on.
First of all, I've been far worse on this podcast.
I know. I've heard. I listened to your podcast. I've heard. I've seen. I feel like you shared one clip where you were dead ass sleeping.
I zoned out.
What is happening?
she's probably
saying. Shanti had to be like, "You there? You good?" Like,
I'll never forget that. That was bad.
I remember that.
I was down bad.
I remember that.
Listen,
I remember that.
You're human.
I was down bad.
You're a human being.
It was tricky. Anyway, whatever. All right, I'm going to stop recording. Y'all, we'll be back next week.
Bye, guys.
Can't remember the guest, but make sure you check out Work Bay Pod. And
Nana and
with Naba. Nana.
You got it.
Said it wrong.
Like, who is that?
Naba.
Wow. Let's get you some sleep, girl. Let's sign off here.
All right.
Good night, y'all.
Okay. Bye. Bye, baby.
You have just heard an Around the Way Curls John. Follow them on Twitter at ATWCurls and Instagram at Around the Way Curls. We out early.
Very good.